Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
Hello and welcome to the Ross Marconzi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 716 Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Monday. Let's welcome in from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Mona. Grant, how are you?
Doing good, Arash. It's a new week, and we have an NHL team that's trying to make history. We have baseball in full swing, and we have so much free agency talk right now.
Yeah, I mean, this is the fun part of the offseason for the NBA. I think a lot of fans, even, you know, depending on where your team is at, enjoy this part of the offseason, certainly going into that first week of July, where we're going to hear a lot of trades and signings and things like that. I mean, one of the first big dominoes, at least when you talk about big name players, could be Paul George. And again, you've been tracking this obviously since the end of last season, and now we're kind of hearing a variety of reports. I mean, again, this is very fluid. Things could change. In fact, Paul George could opt into his contract. Want a sign and trade. What is the latest on the Paul George front?
There's so many different reports out right now about which teams want to get involved. You know, what could happen with his contract, Arash? And, you know, at this point, there's three options. There's the sign, or actually the opt-in and trade request, which is probably the one that's very popular right now amongst media members and amongst people that are familiar with the situation. There's a lot of people, saying that, you know, Paul George really wants to test the waters. And, you know, there's, like I mentioned, three options. The first one being he can just sign back with the Clippers if he wants to at any price, really. And then he could do the opt-in and request a trade, which is what Chris Paul did back in 2017. And that really helped the Clippers kind of reboot their team. And then he could also just go test the waters because he's an unrestricted free agent, right? This is a guy that can go to really any team that he wants, get a max deal with the Magic or the Sixers or whoever it may be. But I want to focus in on the opt-in and trade, because that's the one that a lot of people are talking about. Now we're hearing reports of the Rockets being interested in a sign and trade. The Warriors thing that I brought up last week is kind of coming to fruition now. There's a lot of talk about that. I'm not really sure if that's a deal that the Clippers would want to make, just because whenever you're going in conference, it's really hard to make a deal because you don't want to boost another team in your own conference's chances to win a championship. But regardless of that, this opt-in and trade request deal, I guess you could say, is probably the one that's most popular. And there's a lot of people around the Clippers and a lot of people that have been following the Clippers that really get the sense of Rush that he is probably on his way out. I mean, yeah. I thought it was always 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And at this point, it looks more like he's almost completely out the door. And, you know, a lot of his comments on his show maybe reflected that. And that was more about play style. But right now, it doesn't seem like he's budging at the Clippers' offer, and the Clippers aren't budging back. And that's from everything that we've heard, right? Because the Clippers have been adamant about not giving him that max deal. You know, and obviously there's reports of them maybe giving him a no trade clause to coerce him back into a deal with the Clippers, even if it's at a lower price. I highly, highly, highly suggest the Clippers don't do that. That never ends well. Much like we saw with Bradley Beal, he is now on a no trade clause with the Suns. So I think there's a lot of things that can happen after the draft. Look, the draft is this Wednesday. We're going to get a lot of stuff that's going to happen then. I think after the draft, Arash, we're going to see a lot of movement on this Paul George front, whether it be trades, whether it be opting in, whether it be negotiating. I think that it's really going to kick up after the draft on Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, just a lot of decisions to be made by the Clippers, by a lot of teams out there. Wanted to bring in producer G.A. Wiley again. She's a longtime Clippers fan like yourself. G.A., where do you stand on Paul George? Again, I think a lot of fans are out on Paul George, and I think Grant can kind of speak to that more in depth, but I don't think it's the best thing to just run it back. Now, I do think Paul George, when he's motivated, when he's playing at his best, is still one of the top 15 players in the league. But, G.A., where do you stand on Paul George?
As a fan, I got to say Dasvidaniya. As a player, he's a beautiful player. There's no doubt about it. You know, he can when he wants to show up, he'll show up. But as a fan right now, there's no need to run it back. There's no need for this no trade clause to possibly woo him back in. Let him make his bag somewhere else. Let him go someplace else. I'm very okay with it as a fan. If something drastic happened, right, to where we really truly did need him and where he really truly did need us, I think that, you know, if it behooved situations on all sides, I think great, go nuts, keep him. But as it stands right now, it's obviously not a fit. We've seen over the years it not being a fit, him not being a fit. So yeah. I'm okay with, you know, somebody else trying to grab him and get him and, you know, maybe utilize him for the playoffs or what have you. But as a Clipper fan, I'm good. Bye, Paul George. Wherever you go, good luck.
Yeah, I mean, so we'll see how all that plays out. Again, I mean, that is the first big domino for the Clippers as they look to do, again, revamp the team somewhat. Again, fourth straight year of not making it past the first round. I do think you have to look to change things up somewhat. The biggest change that's going to happen with the Clippers is new arena, new headquarters, new facility, the Intuit Dome, $2 billion Intuit Dome, which is also the home of basketball at the Olympics. Prior to the opening, basketball was supposed to be held at Crypto.com Arena, previously known as Staples Center. A real testament to what they are building at Intuit Dome, that the All-Star Game will be held there. The Olympics will be held there. Grant, again, we know how amazing this facility will be, but I mean, the fact that the Olympics is saying we're not hosting basketball at Crypto, we're hosting it at the Intuit Dome. Your thoughts on that?
That's so huge. I mean, and just to see that come to fruition, especially after all the years of the Clippers being the second fiddle in LA, and honestly, they still are in terms of popularity and in terms of what they kind of get in the city. But for them to host the Olympics, the basketball Olympics, I mean, you're going to have so many great talents there. And obviously, this is for LA 28 when the Olympics comes to Los Angeles. And I mean, it's just such a great move by not just the Intuit Dome, the people that run that, and the organization for the Clippers, but just for the Olympics in general, because this is going to be one of the better basketball arenas in all of basketball, not just the NBA. This is going to be one of the best basketball arenas that we've seen. And the way it's modernized, with the technology throughout the arena, it's going to hold up in 2028. And I really do think that this can launch the Clippers, the brand of the Clippers, because everyone's going to be at that Intuit Dome. They're all going to see the Clippers memorabilia. They're all going to see the Clippers branding, the Clippers logos. And coming off of that 28 Olympics, people are going to be at that arena. So I think it's going to boost the Clippers for this way. So it's a great marketing move. It's also a great basketball move because it's one of the better arenas. Like I mentioned, you're going to have the Halo board and all this modern tech in it. I just think it's so awesome. And it's just so crazy. Like I've been a Clipper fan for 14, 15 years now. And like I never 10 years ago, even maybe 5 or 6 years ago, would have thought that the Olympics would be at a Clipper arena, that the All-Star Game would be at a Clipper arena. So it's just all of these things coming together in a span of what, 3-4 years? Because we're going to have the All-Star Game in 26, then the Olympics in 28. Obviously, it's going to open this fall. So, man, it's just such an odd time, but it's such an exciting time to be a fan of Clippers basketball.
Yeah, and Grant, you covered a couple of Clippers games last season, and it's unfortunate because Crypto.com Arena used to have a great media room, but then they cut it in half, you know, for more, you know, club suites and things like that. Not the case at the Intuit Dome. We kind of got our first glimpses of the media room, like the food. The media room's incredible. I mean, if they keep it what it is, and they will, I mean, I've been lucky enough to travel to almost every, I think Milwaukee, for whatever reason, was the one arena. And again, that was back during a lot of cities. So they have a new facility. But anyways, the Clippers, the Intuit Dome, will have the best media room in the league. GA, I mean, again, very significant. This is the first time in Clippers franchise history that they've had their own arena. Again, when they moved to Los Angeles, they shared the sports arena with USC. Obviously, Staples Center, they've shared with the Lakers, the Kings, and the Sparks. This is their arena, and they've done everything first class. So your thoughts on this, and not only, again, the home of the Clippers, but the home of the Olympics. The Olympic basketball will be held at the Intuit Dome.
Man, like the Jefferson said, they're moving on up, man. Moving on up. Clippers are just... Bomber's just on a different level that I don't think anybody really knows, like, the level that he's going to be at until they actually step foot into Intuit Dome, and media steps foot into that presser room. It looks nice, man. I'm not gonna lie. And then the food too, by the way, I would love to know what the menu is going to be. Have we established that yet?
They did a food tour, Grant, and, you know, it looks amazing, but, like, reasonably priced. Again, with Steve Ballmer, like he's not trying, when I say not trying to make a profit, again, if he was trying to squeeze every dollar, he would have made the arena accessible for hockey or for things like that. He said this is built specifically for the Clippers, and if I lose a couple bucks every year or whatever, he's Steve freaking Ballmer. Grant, you took a look at the food there. I mean, the food looks incredible.
Yeah, so Jihei, to touch on your point as well, this food is curated by, like, some of they brought in some of the top people to curate this menu. And, you know, this isn't just going to be like your regular hot dog, your regular sushi. Like, they brought in experts from, like, around the world. That's right. To curate this menu. And it's kind of crazy. What the biggest talking point was that for the popcorn itself, they have a butter toffee, or like they have like a caramelized one and they have a regular one. For the regular popcorn, they actually brought in Steph Curry to try the popcorn because he is a huge popcorn advocate. Like, this guy is like, he goes to every arena and ranks the popcorn. It's kind of crazy that they brought in like a Western Conference rival to come rate their popcorn and give them their ideas, but they did. And not just that, they're going to have a smash burger, which everyone's raving about. They're going to have a chicken tenders with like a honey mustard barbecue sauce, which everyone's raving about. Detroit style pizza. They're going to have market salads. Obviously the snacks and everything you usually get. So it's going to be like a menu not like we've seen in LA, I don't think. I know SoFi has done a really good job with their menu too, in terms of the buffet options and some of the higher tier options. But it seems like they're really good. Like you mentioned, Jihei, like, Steve Ballmer's top notch. And I think he's putting everything top notch, even into the finest details. Like, we all know the bathrooms and the food.
That's right. The toilets.
Yeah.
And again, to your point, Grant, like, they brought in someone from Bavaria for like the pretzel. I mean, like, really, like, every food item that you would have, they really went to like the top person in their specific field. We'll get into this more tomorrow about JJ being announced as the new head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. Again, press conference today. But G, your thoughts here. I mean, the one big takeaway from hearing from players is that he at least has the respect of these guys. And I think that would have been my biggest question when you're hiring a first-time head coach who is 39 years old today, but will turn 40 this week or something like that. I mean, again, young. Basically, what I'm trying to say there is a young coach, first-time head coach. Generally, the concern there would be, like, will the other players buy-in? It seems that they have. And again, we'll talk about this more tomorrow, but Gia, your thoughts now that JJ has officially been named the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers?
Good for him. Yeah. I'm not entirely, I know that sounds so mean, but I'm not entirely convinced yet. I'm not saying that he can't do a great job. I'm not saying that whatsoever. It's just the non-proven aspect is concerning, but also, and even if you have the respect of those guys at this current moment in time, all of that could change, right? Yeah. So, but you know, I have no ill will towards JJ. I really, really hope that he does. I really hope he does well for the Lakers. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like for me. I wouldn't have made this decision. But you know, if this helps them get over the hump of whatever they've been dealing with, then by all means, get it done. Right. This doesn't really seem like something that I personally would have done if I was given the reins of the Laker organization. But you know what? I'm always an advocate of prove me wrong. Always an advocate of that. I really hope he does do well, even though he's, you know, with the Lakers organization. Obviously, I'm a huge Clipper fan, but I hope that he does really well and that his basketball mind is something that we're going to probably be writing in history books later on, to be honest with you. I think he's he's obviously intelligent Duke alumni. He obviously is, you know, he's no dummy. So I'm really hoping that like, this is the first step in many for him to, in his coaching career to just do well.
I mean, great. I mean, at the very least, the press conferences will be fun. I mean, just having covered JJ with the Clippers, very curious to see what his coaching staff looks like. I think that'll get settled in the next few days here. Again, he's trying to make all those phone calls. But, you know, from what we've heard is that, you know, probably expect one, perhaps two former head coaches to be on his staff. But again, maybe a very player-friendly staff, maybe some former players, you know, Jared Dudley, Rajon Rondo, and again, we could get into this more tomorrow, but your thoughts now that it's official, now that he's had his first press conference, JJ with the Lakers.
Yeah, it's imperative that they fill out his staff with veterans. It's imperative that they fill out his former with his staff with former head coaches. I think that's the biggest thing because, and you know, I was listening to Karp on Friday, and he was talking about in segment two how he should coach in the summer league, and I completely agree with Karp. I mean, I think that he should. There's no shame in doing that. Just go out there, get a feel for how coaching at the NBA level is. I mean, look, we all know. I mean, it's been well documented over the past week how, you know, he went from being a fourth grade boys coach to now being a Lakers head coach. So any experience you can get at this point is good for you. And I think that JJ should kind of exercise that route. Now, is he going to coach it to the fact that he's going to be a Lakers head coach? Is he going to coach it like he has LeBron James on his roster? No. But just getting that feel of being in an NBA environment at the Summer League, because we all know those Summer League games can get very competitive. Yeah. A lot of fans show up nowadays. It's almost like an event for that time that it's in Vegas. So if you can go in there and get some experience with that, I think that's going to be very beneficial for him because that'll like get all of his nerves out, get all of this talk about how he acts in an environment like that. And you know, when you go about the coaching staff, I think that, you know, now we see that Kenny Atkinson is gone to Cleveland. Wow. So James Borrego is still out there to be a top assistant if he doesn't accept the Detroit job. So that would be a good get. And you know, if you can surround him with guys like Scott Brooks and like you mentioned Arash, Jared Dudley and Rajon Rondo, I think that's a good staff for him. And I really want to see JJ succeed, not just because it would mean that myself as a podcaster can become a head coach one day, but the fact that he's a very smart guy and he's been a smart guy throughout his playing career. And I think that he can do a good job.
I totally agree. Let's close out on this, Grant. Freeway series that the Dodgers did what we expected them to do against the Angels, and then they took yesterday off. Listen, we know where the Dodgers are at right now in terms of, you know, not being 100% healthy, but your thoughts on winning the Freeway series and how they look this week?
Yeah, you know, they lost that first game against the Angels, and you know, obviously there's a lot of people in Southern California that are going to give the Dodgers a lot of stuff for that. But you know, they came back and won a great game on Saturday. Shohei Ohtani, I got to give a shout out to him. I know we give a lot of shout outs to Shohei Ohtani, but him at the leadoff spot, he has been unbelievable filling in for Mookie Betts. I think his average is up close to 500 as a leadoff hitter. He's hit a home run in five of his last six six games. This guy, Arash, we were talking about it. What did I say? I said, at some point, this guy is going to get hot again. I know there's a slump there, but him and Freddie Freeman have been cooking lately. And, you know, it's a good sign for the Dodgers because their offense is coming around a little bit. Obviously, the bottom of the lineup is still an issue. But for the Dodgers, look, you get a kind of a good series win against the Angels, but then you go and you're going to play on the road again. You're going to play the White Sox. You got to take care of business. You got to take care of business against these bad teams. I think they're right where they should be. They're playing just about as good as I thought they would without Mookie Betts. So I think they're in good shape right now.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I mean, the concern or the thing that all Dodgers fans are thinking about is really not the season, right? At this point in time, they're going to win the division. You know, I'm not concerned about getting 100 wins or being the top seed again. They've done that before and lost in the division series. So if they can get Mookie Betts back, if they can get Yamamoto back, again, that's probably more of a question than the Betts. That's, you know, just continue to play well again. And we know that they're going to make some moves at the trade deadline. There's no doubt about that. I mean, that was something that they were going to do even before two of their top guys got hurt. All right, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by Willie Ramirez talking about the WNBA big game yesterday between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. We'll talk about all that and more when we come back right here on the Money or 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
Welcome back to the Rush Marconi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mighty 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or a comment, or just want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. And also want to give a special shout out to our friends at the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. Visited the crew there last week in Hawaii. Amazing. Again, they are the home of the Clippers and the USC Trojans in Hawaii. Let's bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Willie Ramirez. Willie, how are you?
Doing good. Just doing good. Trying to stay warm. It's hoodie weather in Las Vegas, so.
So, as my travels around the Sporting Tribune region continues, I will be seeing Willie this week, heading out to Vegas Wednesday night. Big time there. We got the UFC. We've got the draft at the Sphere, the hockey draft at the Sphere. And I just found out I will be joining Willie, going to my first ever Power Slap event. So I'm excited to hang out with Willie, and we'll have a good time. All right, Willie, let's start here. The biggest game that happened on the sports calendar yesterday, WNBA, the battle between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. Tickets, the cheapest ticket, I mean, the tickets were like about $500. It was one of the most expensive WNBA games on record. And it lived up to the expectations in terms of the hype. I mean, it was a classic. It was a two-point game. Chicago gets the win. Your thoughts on the game? And really, I mean, this is, again, I know they're two rookies, but this is sort of like this signature contest. The fact that, like, everyone around the country is talking about this game and these two players, I think, is tremendous. Your thoughts on the game?
Did you say $500?
Well,
I read somebody paid a front row. It was either front row or a floor seat. $5,000 for yesterday.
Okay, game. Yeah. So $500, I think, was either the cheapest ticket or like the average price. But yeah, the most expensive. I mean, the fact that someone wanted to sit front row for $5,000. I mean, it's tremendous. You know, it's really.
Well, and I think the best storyline when it comes to the crowds. Yes, we're seeing the sellouts, and I am getting a little tired of the narrative and the charts that are being put out there that, you know, Caitlin Clark involved games, attendance numbers versus the rest of the league, because they're moving those games, or the FIBA are already playing in a bigger arena than the other one. So obviously those average numbers are going to go up. Yeah. But the Aces sold out all 20 of their home games. They moved the game with Angel Reese of the Chicago Sky to T-Mobile. So let's be fair, and instead of doing attendance numbers, do average, sellout, or proportionate numbers, because the numbers are growing proportionately across the league, not just butts in seats, if you will, if that makes sense to you. So I will say that. The other thing is, I think what's catching on handsomely is that the Aces, remember when the Aces came here and Bill Laimbeer was the coach, and I remember how mystified Kayla McBride and Kelsey Plum were the first time that they saw Floyd Mayweather sitting courtside.
Yeah.
Now we're seeing celebrities at all these games, including games not involving Caitlin Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Angel Reese has been a popular draw. Cameron Brink, prayers out to her, is bringing, you know, big names to courtside for the Spark. So it's a league-wide thing, and it's good to see the celebrities, the athletes, the bigger names come out. We had a LeBron sighting here, a Savannah and LeBron sighting.
That's right.
Here in Vegas a couple weeks ago. So overall, as far as the crowd, there's my thoughts. But as far as the game, it might have been the best WNBA game to date. Wow. We've had some double overtime games, yes. We've had some exciting showdowns. But when we've talked about the matchup and the rivalry, no matter how much Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese want to downplay it, this is our next era of, you know, personal rivalry. I wrote for the Sporting Tribune last year that Asia Wilson, Breanna Stewart is our modern day, like it or not, Magic Johnson versus Larry Bird, the hype behind it that it brings and creates with the quote-unquote super teams of the Liberty and the Aces, and it's one of the number one rivalries in sports.
Yeah.
Men, women, you name it, individual team sports, Wilson versus Stewart, from MVP top to leading their power teams. I think we're eventually going to see the old-school Indiana-Chicago rivalry like we used to have in the Central Division with Reggie Miller and Michael Jordan. That rivalry, it's fantastic. And I know the ladies want to downplay it. And I think more so, they're just tired of answering the question. And I think they would love to embrace the rivalry. I think the problem that they have, and some of us have, is the outside people creating a hated and heated conversation of black versus white, right? Villain versus good girl. I'm tired of reading it. Let's just create two badass basketball players that are creating a rivalry and restirring some rivalry vibes from the NBA when we had the Pacers versus the Bulls. That's what I'm excited about. And I think yesterday's game was a clear indicator, because I think it was the best game I've seen in the WNBA this season.
There's no doubt about that. I would say, and I don't want to, like, I do want to get your thoughts here. I would argue that the Magic Bird comparison, I think, works for Clark and Reese as well, in terms of that rivalry beginning in college, extending to professional, and really taking the league to a different level. Yes, the ground was paved before that they got there. Yes, 100%. But when you look at the crowds, and again, to your point, it's not just Clark, it's Reese. You know, that game against Chicago was also moved to T-Mobile. What Clark versus Reese has done, I think, is fantastic. Jihei, wanted to get Jihei's thoughts, because not only did Jihei play collegiately, her mom was a baller as well. And to see where the sport has come in terms of just people just being really, from the moment they get to the arena, the fashion is a part of this. What they do, like golf the court, is a part of this. Where this sport has come within the last 10 years, 5 years, is amazing. Jihei, your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I think, man, you're talking about like 10 different games right now, right? The playing styles, as it were. So, like, I mean, if you go back in the day for my mom, they did not have, you know, fit sessions for pregame. They didn't have, you know, your mascot, which I thought was hilarious, for the Liberty.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Sabrina Ainoascu sitting back there waiting for the mascot to get her fit time in for pregame, and then her to walk down, and she just waited for that. I thought that was hilarious. That being said, it's a totally different game right now, right? You have just girls that can hit it from the logo that aren't Caitlin Clark. You know, you have it's a lot more entertaining. It's getting to that professional level where it is entertainment as opposed to it being just a fundamental sport. I'm not saying that they aren't fundamental by any means. I'm just saying now you're incorporating a little bit more entertainment into it, which is, I think, what, in my opinion, what was missing in the WNBA to a certain extent. I think, yeah, the game has changed. It's evolved. It's great. And I know that more butts in seats is, you know, the narrative that we're playing this whole entire time, but it is this buzz and this, what Caitlin Clark and Reese have developed, this rivalry, even though I know both of them are over the rivalry. I know both of them are over that narrative. I know everybody's over this narrative also of, like, you know, Caitlin Clark being the star, because there are other stars in the WNBA. There are tons of stars that you can put out there on Front Street for the WNBA. But that being said, the fact that she has to be the poster child for this league, I'm for it, because it's putting more butts in seats. It's putting more eyes on these women who are phenomenal athletes and that are changing the game. So if it had to be these two women to initiate this, then I'm all for it, because they have changed the game, and it's all for the better. And I'm really, really excited about that.
All right, Willie, no one does a better job with the power rankings in the WNBA than you. Go to WGRamirez.com for that. Las Vegas, they get Chelsea Gray back, and they also move up big time in your standings, going from number 7 to number 3. How big of a return was Chelsea Gray? But also, what did you like seeing that you moved them from 7 to number 3?
Well, what I like seeing is that when it was time to put their game to work and put the storm down and put the sun down, put just distance themselves and take over and take complete control and sort of establish that you're not coming back in this game. This is our game. They did it. I had not seen that even in the games they won earlier in the season. They start out 6-6. Even in the 6 wins, I hadn't really seen, outside of the trip to Minnesota, I had not seen the aces look as dominant as they did last year in a game this season. There were a lot of games in question. I mean, realistically, the early games against the Sparks and the Mercury, they could have lost those too. This team could have easily been 4-8 with 2 games that I think they could have lost earlier this season in the very first couple of weeks. What I saw last week was a team that, you know, performed mentally and physically on the court and in the other team's head, in terms of this, we are going to dominate. From when we want to take this game over, we will. And, you know, that's what Asia Wilson does. Chelsea Gray, in the second game back against Connecticut, she had 4 points and 1 assist. But yeah, her presence brought a specific calm to the floor, where we were seeing erratic and sort of frenetic play the first 12 games, when they were in situations where it was sort of like, what do we do? When you're talking about players like Kelsey Plum and Jackie Young and Asia Wilson that'll be representing the United States, veterans like Alicia Clark coming off, or she's actually been starting in Chelsea Gray's absence, Kia Stokes, when they look a little frazzled, that can be troublesome for a coach like Becky Hammon. They lose that mental edge. When Chelsea Gray is on the floor, that is not even a question in terms of the calmness, the approach, where they're at. And that's what we saw last week. And I think for me, it was important to return them to the top 3, because I could have easily made it Minnesota, New York, Seattle, Connecticut, or Connecticut, Seattle, and then Vegas. But Vegas just beat Seattle and Connecticut, and yeah, they did it in convincing fashion. So for me, the way they played last week was in top 3. I don't see them, you know, they got a tough road trip, and hey, I can't wait to see them play against Angel Reese and the Chicago Sky. But I think the aces are back. I think Asia Wilson losing it emotionally a bit on in the post-game press conference put the rest of the team on alert. Like, we need to get on that same mental, you know, level that she's at. There's a tier that Asia Wilson is at. She's at a top tier, and these ladies weren't. I think they're all at that top tier now.
The Los Angeles Sparks go from 9 to 11 again, as you touched on. I can't bring out for the season, tore the Achilles. Listen, no one wants to talk.
ACL.
Listen, with the, no one wants to publicly talk about tanking, but when you have Paige Buchers available, that will be the top pick in next year's draft. If you're the GM of the Sparks, not publicly, but we're having a drink and a cigar, do you say, "Hey, listen, let's try to get the top pick in this upcoming draft"?
It's something that you definitely want to talk about, simply because, you know, you and I earlier this season talked about what's a realistic successful season, and we said if they can finish 500. They're not finishing 500 without Cam Brink in the lineup. So at this point, you have to wonder where they're going to be. Dallas is going to get better, right? Because they've been the most injured team in the league this season. I mean, I feel bad for LT. She has to try to coach a team that has been missing. And at one point, Arika Ogunbowale was questionable for a game. So Dallas will get better. L.A. will likely sink to being the worst team because Washington's on a surge right now. I don't think Atlanta's going to continue to struggle. Hopefully Ryan Howard will be back. But, yeah, I think you have to have those conversations and that, hey, let's just try to get by. It's not the conversation that I think Lexi Brown wants to hear is taking place. And some of the veterans, De'Erica Hamby and Kia Nurse. But not only Paige Beckers, but what's the girl, help me out, GA from LSU?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, are you talking about the point guard? Or are you talking about Reese?
No, that's there now. Flau J.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If she's hitting her junior year, she could come out. So, I mean, there are some players that are still, there's a talent pool that's still out there, you know, that's available to come into the draft next year. So Paige Beckers is obviously going to be the prize. So I think it's a conversation that, yes, you definitely have to have at this point. Like, hey, at this point in the season, we're not finishing in the top eight. Do we want to finish 12?
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, you definitely want to improve the team. It reminds me of, like, the Spurs, you know, the two seasons where, like, they just really were terrible, and whether they tanked or not, it doesn't matter. They end up with Tim Duncan, and then you fast forward to last year where they end up with Victor Wembanyama. I mean, if you tank during a season where you're going to get a amazing player, potentially transcendent player, that is always beneficial to you. Wanted to get your thoughts again. You did an amazing job for the column in the Sporting Tribune about how big fight week is. This is like an interesting week where it's fight week, not boxing, but you got UFC and Power Slap, and you've got the NHL draft at the Sphere. Again, first sporting event there, so that'll be unique. I think a lot of people are kind of excited to see what that looks like. Well, what do you anticipate this week in Las Vegas will be like?
Well, I think it's going to be kind of insane in and around the Valley. I mean, Wednesday I have an assignment at City National Arena, the Golden Knights practice facility, with all the top prospects for the draft. Thursday, oh, wow, they're coming out to historic West Las Vegas at the Black Communities Boys and Girls Club for the inclusive ball hockey that Ryan Reeves actually created over there. And he's still active in the community, but Zach Whitecloud will be out there. There are also going to be, it's sort of a diverse group with minorities and women in hockey. So that's going to be a fun event that I'm going to be covering as well. That's on Thursday. PK Subban will be out there. And then Friday and Saturday, of course, you got the NHL draft, Power Slap Friday night, Saturday night, UFC 303 without Conor McGregor. But I still think it's going to be big because there's going to be so much going on in town. And I think a lot of people that are coming here, the NHL draft has become just as big. Nah, let me backtrack. Not just as big, but in the hockey world. Yeah. So not as big as the NFL draft where people gravitate, but in hockey's, you know, audience, it's to them, this is as big. So they're going to be traveling. And then you mentioned it being the first sporting event. I want to see how they're going to, you know, maybe put the highlights of each prospect on the LED boards. So it'll be fun to see. And everything right in and around one another, you know, Power Slap being a Fountain Blue, which is right by the Sphere, T-Mobile Arena is hosting 303. I'll be at both of those. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it to Power Slap, to be honest with you. You mentioned we were going to catch up together because the first round, depending on when it gets over, I'll be stuck at the NHL draft writing. So it's going to be fun, though. It's going to be one of those busy weeks in Vegas that we didn't see just a few years ago in the month of June.
Exactly. So I'm going to follow you, Ilya. In fact, you know, I'm going to be at the draft as well. So wherever you're at, you know, I know I'm going to be in the right place. So, G, your thoughts on the draft being at the Sphere? Again, last draft where it's in person. And when I say that, that all the teams there are on the floor. And it's one of my favorite drafts where, you know, the GM of the Kings could walk up to the table of the Ducks and they could talk about a trade again. So not the war room spread out around the country. But Dia, your thoughts on the draft being at the Sphere this week?
I mean, I was looking forward to it when they announced this. Yeah. This is incredible. I mean, this is a venue that, I mean, people are flocking to, right? Whether it's to see, oh my gosh, whether it's to see the Dead, whether it's to see, you know, U2 play, whether it's to see, they've had so many great acts, and now to have this be the first sporting event. Willie, I'm going to be jealous of that Instagram feed, man. It's going to be amazing to watch you cover this. So I'm looking forward to it. I don't know any, but I feel like this hopefully will expand their audience by showing this in the Sphere, right? Because it is such a wonderful venue. I know it's better to actually be there in person as opposed to actually watch it on a TV screen. But I think that both experiences have got to be insanely sick. I mean, and even just watching the Sphere from the outside looking in, it's incredible. So again, still looking forward to that. Can't wait. And can't wait to see who the first draft pick is going to be for the NHL.
I think you're right, G. I think people who would not normally be into the hockey draft will be watching just to see the highlights of the Sphere. And Willie, you got to imagine what the lead time that they had, that they have worked on some kind of highlight package, something certainly with the team logos and things like that at night where you're looking at the Sphere really pop. It's one of the most amazing venues. And I really encourage people, if you don't like the musical performance, just buy a ticket to watch some of the films that they show in there. It's really incredible. So excited to be there with my brother, Willie. So
my understanding is the Sporting Tribune Christmas party will be at the Sphere.
Let's do it. Awesome. You guys are the best. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
If you like the show, please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. It really does help the show to grow. Thank you for listening.